It's no secret that I'm pro-life. Personally, that's what I would like to see further embraced by America.
In the first 3 months, that decision should be left to the woman. Then the second 3 months, the government has a role. In the third 3 months, the weight of the government's input is on the fetus being carried.
I don't like the word atheist because to me it mirrors the certainty of religion. I preach the gospel of I don't know.
The church that cannot curse cannot bless. Our church must reject error precisely for the sake of affirming the truth of God's love in Jesus Christ for us, keeping that pure, keeping that clear.
I don't know, if you were to watch television, maybe even a presidential debate, maybe even the one that's going to be held tonight, you might get the impression that the majority of Americans are pro-choice. And therefore, since Americans are by and large at least nominally 85% Christian, you might get the impression that the majority of Christians, at least in the United States, are pro-choice. Now, would that be an accurate impression, that the majority of Christians favor abortion? If you listen to some prominent leaders of mainline liberal denominations, they would definitely want you to get that impression. But is it true? We're going to be talking about the percentage of Christians that are really pro-life and those that are pro-choice, conversely, here for the first 10 minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Tuesday, October the 7th. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesztc.org. After a brief conversation with Dennis DeMauro, Dr. Alvin Schmidt joins us. He's Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. We'll continue a conversation with him on the five pillars of Islam today, the zakat. That would be the fivefold prayer, or if you're a different kind of Muslim, it might be as many as three or seven times in prayer, mandatory for every Muslim every day. Dr. Martin Noland will join us after that to talk about 18th century Lutheran pastor Henry Melchior Muhlenberg. I think he's the guy who threw off his liturgical vestments to reveal an army uniform and marched out of church to go lead some of his parishioners in battle. We'll find out how that came about. And then, after our conversation with Dr. Noland, David Van Bima of Time Magazine joins us to talk about an article that he wrote in the recent edition of Time Magazine, Maybe We Should Blame God for the Subprime Mess. That's a short conversation. We'll follow up on that with Bob Leko, seeing how the prosperity gospel may well, in fact, lure people through its theological underpinnings into very bad financial decisions. And then we'll round off today's program talking about Jesus as priest, part two of our weekly series on the threefold office of Christ. Dr. Arthur Just will be our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talkback@issuesztc.org. Dennis DeMauro is a regular guest. He's Secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, President of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, and author of the book A Love for Life, Christianity's Persistent Protection of the Unborn. David, welcome back. I'm sorry, Dennis, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
Are the majority of people who call themselves Christians pro-life or pro-choice?
Well, what I did in the second to last chapter of the book is I talk about how many Christians are pro-life. And the way I determined that is kind of on a denominational basis. The denominations all have statements whether or not they're pro-life or pro-choice. So what I did was I took the numbers or the headcount of those denominations, I added them all up. And what I came up with is that 72% of the world's Christians are in pro-life denominations. Now, the question begs is whether or not the individuals inside those denominations actually adhere to their denomination's position. But I think you would find that it kind of goes both ways. That is, there are going to be some pro-life people in pro-choice denominations, and there are going to be some pro-choice people in pro-life denominations. And really the only way that you can look at it is by the position of the denomination. There's been no study at an entire Christian level of attitudes towards pro-life and pro-choice. So the number I came up with is 72%, but I consider that a little bit conservative because there are so many denominations that I couldn't identify and couldn't get their headcount and couldn't find their position regarding whether they're pro-life and pro-choice. So if I didn't know, I'd assume them to be pro-choice. So I would assume that the number is going to be a little bit higher. So what I've come up with is about 3 out of 4 Christians are pro-life today.
Okay. Do we need to tease apart the term pro-life here in order to understand? I mean, we do it with our politicians. We say, well, he's pro-life. He's 90% pro-life, and there's certain qualifications in there. What about the Christians and their views, their life views across the spectrum of issues that are embraced by the term life?
Well, those pro-life denominations are pretty much what you can consider standard pro-life. That is, they're going to be pro-life in every situation except for the life of the mother. And they're also going to take the same stand regarding embryonic stem cells and really any embryo after the moment of conception. So I don't think you really need to tease it apart. On the pro-choice side, you might need to tease them apart a little bit because they, you know, they span from the very, very pro-choice to of organizations like the United Church of Christ to other Protestants that aren't quite as rabidly pro-choice. For instance, let's say like the Methodist Church or the ELCA. So it just varies. But for the pro-life, for that 72%, I'm confident they are staunchly pro-life.
So is there any indication of trending one direction or another? Because I imagine, or maybe I'm just being idealistic, I imagine that if you went back to pre-Roe times, to perhaps 1950, just for a good round year, you would find virtually all Christian denominations, at least ostensibly, calling themselves pro-life if they didn't use that term.
Mm-hmm.
Are we trending away from a pro-life Christianity, at least in the United States?
No, we're not really. The numbers that I found on the trends were that it's pretty much going to stay the same. 10 years from now, we're looking at pretty much the numbers that we're looking at today. So for the most part, I think you find that the denominations are set in their positions. They're probably not going to change too much over the 10 years. And the percentages of those denominations, one to another, pro-life to pro-choice, are going to be pretty consistent as well. The only hope that I have is it looks like the worldwide Pentecostal movement is growing at an incredible pace. And if that's the case, then we might be able to see it becoming more and more pro-life. But I don't have many indications or many possibilities that it would become more and more pro-choice. It's probably going to stay the same or become a little bit more pro-life.
What is the most pro-life sector of the Christian church?
Well, I think that the big pro-life areas in the Christian church are Roman Catholicism, the Orthodox Church, and then what we consider the evangelical Christians. So really, those are the three groups that take the most of the pro-life denominations, and that's what gives us the very large percentages. So, for instance, if the Roman Catholic Church wasn't in that number, you'd be looking at somewhere maybe in the 15% pro-life. So, if they flipped, of course they're not going to. But those are some very large groups: the Roman Catholics, the evangelicals, and the Orthodox Christians.
All right, I'm wondering about the Lutherans because growing up Lutheran, it was difficult for me to accept this. But I had a friend, a convert from evangelicalism to Lutheranism, who told me, before I was a Lutheran, I was convinced every Lutheran was pro-choice because all I knew were the pro-choice Lutherans. This is a split bag, isn't it, Dennis?
It is a split bag, certainly in the Lutheran church. It's a split bag, really, among all denominations. We're usually painted, Protestants are usually painted by the largest denomination that that particular faith tradition has. So in Lutheranism, you're painted by the attitudes of the ELCA. The Methodists are painted by the attitudes of the United Methodist Church. The Presbyterians are painted by the attitudes of the PCUSA, and so on and so forth. So it gives you this idea, if you kind of take the largest denomination, and most people don't look past that largest denomination, if you look at it, it makes you think, wow, everyone but the Baptists are pro-choice on the Protestant side, but that's not the case at all.
finally, then, if someone gets an impression from kind of the general rhetoric around the life issue in the United States, especially in the press, that if you're a Christian, you're not necessarily pro-life. In fact, you're as likely to be pro-choice as pro-life. Is that a true impression?
See, that's what I'm trying to point out in this chapter, is that this idea that a person gets up in the morning and says, I'm a Christian, and looks at Christianity and sees this 50-50 split like the press wants us to think it is, or maybe even more on the Protestant side, is absolutely untrue. The fact is that if you're a Christian, you're about 3 out of 4 chances that you're going to be in a pro-life denomination. So I think that should give some encouragement to pro-life activists out there. Sometimes there's an attitude among pro-life activists that, hey, we're in this all alone, no one seems to care, and we just have to plod on our own, and it gets a little bit discouraging. But I hope they will take some heart in knowing that Christianity has in no way abandoned its pro-life roots, and still the vast majority of Christianity is pro-life.
Folks, we have information on the book A Love for Life posted under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dennis DeMauro is Secretary for the National Pro-Life Religious Council, President of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life. His book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. Dennis, thanks for being our guest.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back from this break, Dr. Alvin Schmidt will take us through the second of the 5 pillars of Islam, the zakat, the daily prayer. Stay tuned.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Kathleen Scott, David Busher, Jim Whitney, Jeffrey Wernicke, Fred Brown, Pastor Andrew Eckert, Peter Dominic, Robin Bolt, Michael Fisk, and Nancy Eckert. Thanks for your support.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We call devotional time in the Schwarz household Jesus time. We use a hymnal, a Bible, the catechism, and a book of prayers. I've always wanted a devotional book with all of these resources. Well, it's coming this fall. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. Find out about it on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A family-friendly devotional resource, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.